This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Second Look, the show where we take an in-depth second look at last week's stories. I'm Colleen Holden.
And I'm Joey Delahunty. Today we will be looking at a breakdown of the Bloomington Police Department, a recap of this week's primary election, a look at ISU's roller hockey team, and an interview with the MC of the St. Louis Cardinals.
The Bloomington Police Department released their annual report this past week entailing its events, new hires, and statistics. Alexander from the news team sat down with Bryce Jansen from the BPD to discuss the report at length.
So just the first thing I want to ask is a little bit about how some additions benefited the community. Like, there were 18 new hired officers, there were 17 new squad cards, and 9,000 parking tickets. How would you say some of those things benefit the community?
Fresh ideas in, people with different backgrounds, and things of that nature. Obviously, with retirements and things like that, we need more bodies, and we can always use more applicants. So it's always good when we have good candidates that we can take on the team and get working for us and get working for the city. As far as the new vehicles, everything has a life to it, especially something mechanical like a vehicle, and they get used constantly. A lot of those vehicles, most of the vehicles are driven all day long. So that puts a lot of wear and tear on them. We're constantly, we share each of the vehicles. So they're getting driven on all three shifts. We have some that are in great shape. And then there were some that, you know, are towards the middle of their life, towards the end of their life and needed replaced. So that is, always good to have the newest vehicle out there that has increased safety with it. That's always helpful for our officers and the community.
Okay. And I have a question about complaints.
Yeah.
So it went down from... So in 2022, it was 21 formal filed complaints, and this year it was 17. How does Bloomington Police Department go about trying to reduce the amount of complaints it gets?
Yeah, so one of the big things is just training. Getting better at talking to people, increasing training when dealing with subjects that might be going through some type of distress. Obviously, people that interact with us might not be having the best day of their lives. It could be very well one of the worst days that they've experienced. So there's a lot of stress that goes along with that on both sides. So as far as we're concerned, increasing our training on how to deal with people that are undergoing some type of crisis and some type of stress can also reduce the number of complaints we get based on just being able to talk and de-escalate and things of that nature.
Would you be able to say a little bit about how training went this year, or like why it's so important?
Yeah, so we do continue education with a lot of things, whether that be law updates, use of force, things of that nature, and then also we do CIT training, which is crisis intervention, and that is something that all of our officers get certified in at the City of Bloomington Police Department. So that deals with individuals who might be experiencing a mental crisis or might be under the influence of drugs or narcotics, something of that nature, and how to appropriately deal with them and be able to de-escalate situations. So that is something all of our officers are trained in, and obviously something we take very seriously.
Okay. And so in December, there was a statistic from IDOT that showed the disparity between stops of people of color over white people. Is there anything that Bloomington Police Department is doing to reduce these racial disparities?
That would be a question better geared towards I think our chief might have touched on that in the past. But once again, that's another thing, implicit bias training. That's something that we've done as well, and just make sure our officers are aware of the historical aspects of how things used to be and how they appeared, or how it can appear, and how we interact with individuals can affect that on a broad scale as well, not just locally, but nationwide.
Okay, and I just have two more questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's said that Bloomington Police Department has made progress to its 30 by 30. What is being done? Like, what progress is being made there, and like, why does BPD feel that it is important to have women in the department?
Yeah. So once again, that goes along with our new hires getting fresh ideas in, and we want to increase our reach to everyone in the community, and we want to be representative of our community as well. So that includes having men and women working for the Bloomington Police Department, as well as individuals of different backgrounds. Race, religion, it doesn't matter. We want to expand and make sure we are touching on all the demographics that are represented in our community. So we have increased our number of female officers recently. And that's obviously a good thing to have, because once again, you've got individuals that have different backgrounds, and it's always good to have that represented in any organization, and especially a police department.
Primary elections came and went with a number of local spots up for grabs. Reagan Deering defeated Chuck Erickson in the race for the 88th House seat. Incumbent Don Everhart defeated Jason Daisy in the race for county clerk. And Brian Leffler took the majority over George Wendt for the McLean County board seat.
Switching gears to the national primaries, both President Biden and former President Donald Trump won by a landslide in their respective parties. Joey, does this surprise you at all?
No, not really. This is sort of, I feel like, what everyone was expecting. Obviously, Biden was going to be it. Him getting primaried in the Democratic Party would be crazy. And Trump has been sweeping polls over Haley and DeSantis and everyone else for months now. So I don't think anyone was looking forward to a repeat of the 2020 election, but I think a lot of people saw it coming.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really interesting the way that, like, it is very much a repeat of 2020, but it's also, like, the way that both candidates are viewed is very different, I think, because Biden's approval rate has started going down a lot. It started with the whole student loan thing. That was, like, his big campaign promise, and then that wasn't really fulfilled. And then a lot of people aren't really happy about, like, his stance on everything going on in Israel, so his approval rate is going way down versus Trump's is going way up. So it's the same race, but it's looking like there might be a different outcome. What do you think?
Which I think that's mainly affected by the fact that Biden is the incumbent now, right?
Yes.
So rather than Biden being the new guy who's going to kick out Trump, who hadn't been doing much either, he's the one who's been sitting around for 4 years not getting much done. Now, I think Biden has done some good things. He has relieved some debt. He has improved some of our environmental policies a little bit, but they're not very publicized, and they're not the kind of thing you can campaign on because they don't sound all that flashy.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but you're listening to Second Look on 103.3 WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look on WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've talked about the Bloomington Police Department's annual report and the results of the primary election.
Special Opportunities Available in Recreation, also known as SOAR, has set plans for their annual Respect Run 5K at Miller Park. The run is part of a national campaign to make the R word stand for respect. The group, which aims to provide recreational activities to those who can't usually participate in them, says the event is open to everyone and is set to take place on April 7th.
Last week, the Normal Town Council approved new traffic lights to be installed around Fort Jesse Road, including at the Landmark and Greenbrier Drive intersections. Additionally, they approved renovations for the skate park at Fairview Park, with certain services being over 50 years old. As usual, they plan to hold another meeting this Monday in the Normal Town Hall.
The ISU Board of Trustees has confirmed Andive Tarhule as their new university president this past Monday. Trujillo has been an interim president since the former President Kinsey's departure last year and was one of four finalists being considered for the position. The decision was announced on March 8th and was made official as of March 18th.
In international news, Kate Middleton, Princess of Wales, has revealed that she has been diagnosed with cancer and is currently undergoing treatment. This comes after weeks of speculation over a lack of public appearances, exacerbated by several public photos that were revealed to be edited. In an official statement from Kensington Palace, Middleton expressed thanks for the outpouring of support and requested privacy while she undergoes treatment. Colleen, how do you feel about the news related to Middleton?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's really sad. Like, it's never a good thing to hear that somebody has cancer, but I do think it's good that, like, we're not, like, speculating on where she is anymore. Like, it's good to know that she's, like, she's alive and she's safe and, like, everything's, you know, okay. And there's a lot of, like, conspiracy going on around it. It was a little insensitive, but it's good to know that all of that is just kind of squared away and we can all just kind of stop talking about it and just be respectful.
Yeah, I think it's good that the answer is out there now just so people can stop speculating about it. And, you know, she is a public figure, technically a government figure. And I think it's completely fair for her to request privacy at this point, of course. But I think it's good that the answers are out there now.
Definitely. In the local sports, ISU's roller hockey team has just qualified for its national tournament. WZND's Riley Klump sat down with a member of the team to discuss their season so far and what this lesser-known sport looks like.
Can you tell me more about roller hockey and, like, how your season looks?
Yeah, we had a really good season. We ended up finishing second in our division and our conference. It was a big step up from last year. We got a lot of new guys. We got a new head coach. We're looking a lot better than last season, where we also made nationals. So we're going to be a big threat this season at nationals for sure.
And then how long does your season run?
We usually start in September and nationals in April. So it's almost the whole year.
Always busy. And then what's your player demographic looking like?
Yeah, this year is going to be a little tough. We have six seniors on the team, so almost half the team is going to be graduating after the season, so it's kind of a last dance for us in a sense, so yeah.
How many games do you guys play throughout your season?
Yeah, so this season we played about 25 to 30 games, I believe, and then for divisional play, I think we played about 18.
Before, like, the nationals, you had to, like, you said you got, like, second in the, was it, like, the Midwest Championship?
Yeah, yeah. So our division is the Midwest Division, and we finished second in the conference, the Midwest Conference, okay. And we're Division III.
And then is that how you guys got the bid to go?
It is. So the winner of each division of each conference gets an automatic bid. But since we finished second and we had a really good season, they gave us a bid to nationals, so we're able to go.
My other, like, big question, is there a major difference between roller hockey and ice hockey?
Yeah, so some of the rules are different. For example, we don't have offside or icing in roller hockey. Roller hockey is also played 4-on-4, where ice hockey is 5-on-5. Roller hockey is a little bit more skill-based rather than physical-based. There's no, like, full-on body checking in roller hockey, but yeah, those are the main differences.
Okay. Like, how's the national tournament work? Like, what happens while you're there? Because, like, I read that it was a week long.
So we're there for a whole week. There should be about 25 teams from our division showing up, so they'll do round-robin rounds to place us in a tournament-style bracket, and then it's just single-loss elimination once, or not single-loss elimination, but there's a winner and loser bracket once we get into the tournament. So if you lose two games, you're done for the tournament.
Okay.
All
right. And then you're a senior, right? What would your hopes for the team in the future be?
Yeah, I hope they get a lot of new good players next year, and I hope they could keep our national streak going. We made it the past 2 years. Like I said, we're going to be losing a lot of the team after this season because of graduation. But yeah, I hope they get to rebuild fast and get back to nationals.
During the weekly sports show The Red Zone, hosts Mikey Fornelli, Braden Fogerson, and Ben Huddy spoke with Todd Thomas, who is the MC for the St. Louis Cardinals and Arch Madness, as well as a DJ with an interesting company.
So I own a DJ business called Porta Party DJs that I've owned for almost 30 years. For the past 28 seasons, I've been the in-game MC for the St. Louis Cardinals, which means that at every home Cardinal game, I'll go out in the stands and interview people, and much like I do here at Arch Madness, and I've been doing this. We haven't been able to pinpoint when I started here, but we think it's somewhere between 21 and 25 years that I've been down here as well. And it has been awesome. I love the fans. I love the tournament. I will be honest with you that adding the additional teams and adding two more games on this first day is brutal, because the normal two games on a Thursday night and then four games on a Friday was tolerable. But we're going back to back 2 days in a row of working, you know, four games, it's just a long day. I mean, but I'm kind of wired that way, and I get through it. So,
is it difficult in terms of the amount of time you get in between, you know, finding fans? Is it easy? Is it just kind of, you know, is that part stressful, or is it just...
You know, that's a great question. It's not super stressful. It's just that when you have a team that might not have as many fans, or the fans that are there are, let's say, players' families, they typically don't want to, you know, go on the screen. They're either focused on the game or don't want their son to see them being interviewed in the stands. And so when you don't have a lot to choose from, it makes it more difficult. Obviously, the later in the weekend, the more fans are here, the easier it is. But on these first 2 days, you know, you're getting some of these teams that aren't doing very well and their teams don't travel very well, it is a bit difficult to do and try to get people to volunteer to do it.
How does that compare to doing the Cardinals, for example?
Cardinals game is super easy. I mean, people are coming up to me and saying, hey, can I do it? I mean, you always have to ask. You know, you just can't ambush someone, because I think that's one thing that I've done all the time, is that I'm very careful to not ever put someone into a situation where they don't want to go on screen, or for some other reason, you know, maybe they're wanted by the FBI and they don't want to be on TV or whatever. So I'm very careful to always ask, but more times than not, people are pretty cool about it, even if they don't want to.
Do you have any weird stories about specific people that you remember just throughout doing this?
I mean, yeah, there's all over the place, all kinds of people. I cut a guy's mullet off at a pregame party one time. I auctioned off a little person at an event one time. So
I assume that was a while ago.
It was a while ago, yes. Yes. But let's keep in mind, I didn't come up with this on my own. He came up and, you know, told me he had done it before. So, okay. I mean,
for you doing this, you know, you could go anywhere. Like, you do it for the Cardinals, you're well known mm-hmm. nationally for it. Like, you could go do probably Big Ten or something like that if you want. What makes the Valley so special that, you know, maybe even just aside from, you know, is it just a regional thing that makes it so much easier, or is there a reason that keeps you coming back to the Valley?
Well, I would probably start with the fact that it's in St. Louis, which is where I live now. My alma mater is, you know, SIU Carbondale, and so, you know, lots of friends are always in town for this weekend. So that's what makes it easy, and plus just the Missouri Valley Conference family has been so special to me over the years, of how they've treated me and how great of a program and tournament that they run. So I feel that, you know, this is everywhere I go, people are super nice to me. I'll show you this picture later, but an Illinois State fan made a sign that said Todd Thomas for 2024 president and had pictures on it. And I went over and I signed the thing for him. It was pretty crazy.
Is there any sort of way that bias can creep in when it comes to a team that you went to versus a team that you don't have any relation to, anything like that?
No, not at all. I mean, the only bias I will say is that, for instance, I write a lot of the questions that are asked, and I just literally got off the court because I did a top three, which is kind of like a Family Feud sort of thing. Top three answers are on the board, and it was top three Chicago professional sports teams, and I chose, in order, Bulls, Blackhawks, Bears. What do you think I left off?
You definitely left off.
Yes, I left off the Cubs, right? Yes. Because I'm a Cardinal fan. So that kind of drew some funny boos and cheers from their fans. So something like that just makes it fun, you know?
This job could probably be stressful in terms of how long you do it. Do you get breaks? Do you get, you know, vacation time? Is it ever too much?
You mean this specific
any
job?
Sort of jobs between DJing and
yeah,
the
yeah. Well,
this.
That's the thing, is that I go hard at all the jobs that I work at, but I also know that I make my own schedule. And so, you know, when it's a slow time or a downtime like this January and February, I've done some great travel where I've gotten to go to some cool places and taken that time when I'm not working to get to either spend with my son or family or go with friends and get to go out and enjoy that. Because, you know, I think it's important to, you know, work hard when you're working, but also, you know, recharge at my cabin and get away from everything or go on a vacation.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have a favorite of the three between Porta Party DJs?
No, it would just be and... The greatest event of all of them are all equal. You know, a World Series parade or being in the World Series or, you know, a really fun time down here where I had a really cool segment at the Arch Madness tournament or DJing a wedding where the dance floor is packed. All those things kind of equal each other.
What made you this way in terms of your personality? How did you?
I was born this way, Braden. People will say that I'm getting paid to do what I used to get in trouble for in school.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today we discussed the national and local primary elections, the Bloomington Police Department's annual report, and wrapped up the show with an interview from St. Louis Cardinals MC Todd Thomas. I'm Colleen Holden.
And I'm Joey Delahunty.